When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Brewery. I'm Jill.
And I'm Dick.
And this is number 7 in our 12 Beers of Christmas.
We're halfway there. Starting on the other half.
That's right. Okay, so what are we doing today?
We're doing the Mission Valley killings, which took place on Christmas Eve in 2013 in San Diego.
Okay. So before we get started on that, I'd like to read a 5-star review, if that's okay.
It's always okay.
Okay. So this is by Bethy740, and it's called The Best True Crime Podcast Ever.
Ever.
Yeah, that might be going a little above and beyond, but I appreciate it. Listening to Jill and Dick talk is like visiting close friends and talking about life. There is intelligence, empathy, sweet humor, and never a dull moment. Their research goes so far beyond what any other podcast is doing that I always learn something new, even if I think I'm familiar with the case. Thank you, Jill and Dick. Can't wait to meet you again at the quiet end of the bar. Well, thank you, Bethy. I think you exaggerate a little bit. I think there are plenty of true crime podcasts that do as much research as we do, but I definitely appreciate that you feel that way. So, Bethy740, welcome to the brewery.
Welcome, Bethy. You're too kind to us.
Yes, she's a little too kind, but you can't knock her for that. That's really nice.
Yeah, we'll definitely meet you at the quiet end.
Yes. So what have we got for a beer today?
So continuing with our Christmas beers, we have Sweetwater Festive Ale, brewed by Sweetwater Brewing Company out of Atlanta, Georgia. Another winter warmer.
Yes. That's always nice on a cold night.
Yes, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it.
So this particular beer is black with a small to moderately sized tan head. It has a roasted malt and cocoa aroma, then some coffee and chocolate in the taste, a little bit of faint spice. That's fairly medium-bodied, kind of creamy. This is, as far as winter warmers go, I would put it as an okay one. Certainly not one of my favorites.
Okay.
But a nice enough beer.
Moderately good.
Moderately good.
Okay. All right. Well, let's open it up and I can be the judge of that.
All right. You tell me what you think.
Great, Dickie. Let's go down to the quiet end.
Sounds like a good idea. I noticed Santa's back.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's a new helper that he's got, a new elf.
Oh, it is. Yeah, a brunette.
Yeah. The blonde in the little black dress isn't there anymore.
But this one's real cute.
Well, you know, Santa is definitely a man of good taste.
Well, I think around this time of year, he's real popular, too.
I'm sure he is.
Everybody wants something from Santa.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hope she's been a good girl.
Well, she's helping him.
Yep.
So, that's a start.
All right, let's go join them.
Okay.
Okay.
So as we said at the beginning, this involves a triple homicide that occurred on Christmas Eve in a mall parking lot. So Alona Flint and Salvatore Belvedere were gunned down in a parking lot outside a Macy's department store at Mission Valley Mall in the early hours of December 24, 2013. Flint died at the scene, while Salvatore died a few days later from injuries sustained in the shooting.
But you know what was interesting is even though she was shot in the head, she was able to call 911 before she died.
Yeah, I was amazed at that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the one that was pronounced dead on the scene.
So I wonder if she just bled to death, because if it had gone right in her brain, you think it would have been quick, wouldn't it?
I would think.
Yeah. Huh. Well, it's a super sad case. These were young folks.
These were early 20-year-olds, yeah.
Yeah.
So Gianni Belvedere, who was Salvatore's brother and Flint's longtime boyfriend turned fiancé,
right.
He went missing following the shooting of his loved ones.
Yeah.
The San Diego Police Department launched a missing person search for Gianni over the next several weeks. And they did finally find him, as you'll discuss.
Unfortunately, they found him not alive anymore.
No.
No. So I've got the timeline here. So the shooting was on the 24th, but like really early, like 1 in the morning.
Right.
So kind of the night of the 23rd, the morning of the 24th. And it was right in the parking lot of the mall outside of Macy's. So like I said, Ilona managed to call 911 and report the shooting, and she actually told dispatchers where she was near the mall. So she was fairly with it to be able to do that. And minutes later, when officers came and found them in the vehicle, she was already dead.
Right.
Makes she was dead. She just bled to death.
And Salvatore was near death.
Yes. He'd suffered some life-threatening gunshot wounds to his head as well as his torso. So he was transported to the hospital. And he was in the hospital a couple of days, I guess, before he died. He died on December 27th.
Okay.
So it makes me wonder if maybe he was already brain dead at the site. I don't know. But with a head injury, that's certainly a possibility.
I would think. I mean, what else is going to kill you 4 days after the fact?
Yeah, it's usually something like that.
The decision that he was, in fact, brain dead and they withdrew life support.
That sounds reasonable, yeah. So on December 26th, like you said, they were looking for Gianni because he was missing. And police confirmed then that Gianni was last seen on December 23rd around 10 p.m. in his home. And his family was pleading to find him and have him come home. They said, Gianni, we need you to come home. Please come home to us. So that's pretty sad. Seemed to have a really loving family.
Very close-knit family,
yeah.
Yes.
So that kind of makes it sad that some of the rumors that went around later.
Yeah, nothing yeah. like impugning the victims, right?
Right, right. So there were vigils held for Salvador and Ilona on December 28th and January 1st. And on January 7th, investigators had a news conference where they said that there was still no trace of Gianni. So it seems like they still didn't have any leads at that point.
No.
But at this point, they had determined that his cell phone and credit cards hadn't been used, so that's always a bad sign. It's hard to live without those things.
It certainly takes away robbery as a motive, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and it takes away him taking off on his own.
Yes.
Yeah, usually. Unless someone really wanted to disappear and abandon their cell phone and their credit cards. But there didn't seem to be any reason for him to do that.
None at all.
And I don't think they ever suspected that he was the killer, did they?
The stuff I've read sure doesn't sound like they suspected him of being the killer. I think
no.
they were worried that whoever the killer was had not only killed the two that were found at the mall, but had done away with Gianni also.
Yeah, that did turn out to be the case.
Right.
So it was all the way until January 17th, so that's what, 3 weeks or so?
A good 3 weeks.
Yeah, and that's when they found Gianni. They actually found his body in the trunk of his car. So it had been 3 weeks, and someone called the authorities around 11:45 a.m. and reported that a foul odor was coming from the trunk of the vehicle, which was parked in another shopping center.
Mm-hmm. So, and you're thinking that he had basically been dead that whole time.
Probably, yeah.
And the aroma of decomposing flesh was what drew the person to the car.
I can't even imagine.
Me either.
No, it's horrible. So, when officers arrived on the scene and opened the trunk, they found his body. And then they took a couple days to confirm that it was him, although they were pretty sure. But, you know, they have to confirm it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was on January 24th, so not that long out, another week or so.
Another week.
That they found out that there was a suspect they were looking for, according to witnesses. So at this press conference, Lieutenant Mike Hastings released details of this possible suspect who was tied to this triple homicide. He said the suspect was seen at Westland Mission Valley on December 23rd and 24th, and he was wearing a black hoodie with white bands in the biceps area of the sweatshirt, tan pants, and white tennis shoes. He was described as being 5'10" to 6 feet tall, and he was believed to be at the Mission Valley Mall at 11:15 p.m. the night before the shooting, so the 23rd. And then Sale had returned to the mall around 12:15 a.m. on the 24th. So Lieutenant Hastings assured the Belvedere family and the public that they were working diligently to find answers, and he said that investigators spent hundreds of hours on this case. And he said, this case will be solved.
And it was, eventually.
Well, kind of.
Or
I mean, it's been a long,
likely
twisted trip here. They think it's solved.
Right.
Seems solved.
So the reports of this suspicious character were based on eyewitnesses.
Yes.
I found this interesting. There's no record of him on security tapes.
Well, initially the public felt that the police were keeping that under wraps because it was part of the case.
But as it turns out, there weren't any.
Right. The cameras weren't working.
The cameras were non-functioning.
And also, there was a lighting problem. It wasn't bright enough.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a whole other issue with the owners of the mall.
Yeah.
But I think if I were the family of these victims, I'd be pretty pissed.
I think there's a civil suit in the process about that currently.
Yeah.
Although it'll probably be settled out of court, I would imagine.
Sure. But you figure, you know, they've got some reports of this suspicious character. They can go to the tapes and maybe see that it's the same guy who did it. But
right.
They can't.
No, they can't.
Ah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I feel kind of, I don't know. I could go either way on that because I feel like, yes, they should have more security. But on the other hand, there are a lot of places in life where you don't have lights and you don't have cameras. And it doesn't mean that it's okay for people to murder you or it's the fault of the owners of the area. I mean, is there a certain expectation when you go to a shopping mall that the parking lot's going to be under security? I don't feel that way.
Well, I think there is that expectation.
Okay.
That there's cameras to observe what's going on in the lots. And I know at least in this case, there's a ordinance in San Diego that specifies how much light you need.
Really?
In the parking areas.
See, that never would have entered my mind.
So
there are some rules about that.
There are some
rules.
There's
that expectation.
I think so.
I never would have thought of it. Not that I go to the mall very often anyway, so that could be part of why I don't think about it. So on February 7th, in the first bit of new information released in over 2 weeks, the police department confirmed that Gianni had died as the result of a gunshot wound or wounds to his head. And this was according to the preliminary autopsy. And it wasn't complete at that time, but they did have, you know, they knew pretty much what the manner of death was.
And they thought that the same person was responsible for all three?
Yes, they were leaning that way, and I'm not sure what led them to that.
Yeah,
although I guess that's a pretty safe conclusion
probably.
To draw.
I mean, they're all familiar with each other. They were probably together.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think some family or friends also said they thought they were together.
Yeah.
But obviously they had two different cars.
Right.
Yeah. So in March of 2014, the families launched a website to try and search for some leads, and that was primarily the Belvedere family, who had lost two of their children. So that's a horrible thing to deal with. And they actually started trying to raise money on the website and get a reward for any information that would lead to finding the killer. And then in June of 2014, there was an arrest finally. So it was
6 months.
Yep, 6 months.
That's good.
Yep. And the family confirmed that an arrest was made in the killing. And so this man, Carlo Mercado, a 29-year-old, was booked on 3 counts of first-degree murder in connection with these killings. So there was a briefing scheduled for June 23rd. And at the briefing, they shared some details of the case and talked about the arrest of Mercado. So the police said that they hoped this arrest would bring some closure to the Flint and Belvedere families. And then Mercado was arraigned on June 25th and formally charged with the 3 counts of first-degree murder. And then it wasn't until September 2nd that they had the preliminary hearing. And this is where they released for the first time that they had DNA evidence, although I don't know what the DNA evidence was.
Right. We never could figure that out. What the DNA evidence was.
No. Well, if we decide to do a full episode, we could probably do some more research into that.
Yeah.
Plus, there's still the trial pending at this point.
There is. Because?
Well, September 2014, he was bound over for trial, right?
Right.
And then September 17th, 2014, Mercado's attorney raised questions about his client's mental capacity to stand trial. So this is when the judge ordered Mercado to continue being held without bond until he could be evaluated. So on November 3rd of 2014, Mercado was found to be not competent to stand trial. And that's when they ordered that he be treated at the Patton State Hospital for 3 years or until he was competent to assist with his own defense.
Right.
So this put in motion a lot of legal wranglings, a lot of appeals and layovers and evaluations and whatnot, which has made the case stretch out for these past almost 2 years now.
It's been a while. This whole competency hearing stuff or mental capacity is a tricky thing to navigate. So I guess it was almost a year after he was committed to the state hospital, that is, returned to the county jail, because evaluators at the state hospital found him competent to stand trial. The defense again requested a competency hearing for Mercado. So they decided that he would undergo a mental competency trial on December 14th, 2015.
Okay, so this is almost 2 years
after
the murders at this
point. 2 years after it.
Okay.
And we're a good year into deciding his competency, his mental capacity.
So did he spend an entire year in the mental hospital?
Yes.
Okay.
And then returned to the jail.
So clearly he had mental problems.
I would think.
And I think that kind of helped to dismiss the rumors. Now, the rumors were that possibly the kids, Salvador, Gianni, and Ilona might have been drug users, and it was a drug-related killing.
Right, because Carlos Mercado, that's his name, correct?
Yes.
And obviously Hispanic.
Sounds like it.
So he must have been dealing drugs.
Oh, jeez.
That's.
Yeah, that's you think that's where it came from?
Sure.
Okay.
That's where people would look at it.
Well, I don't know. I think if you've got young people, I don't know, sometimes people think things like that. But anyway, that was disproven, or it was thrown out anyway.
It turns out to be something totally different, or it looks like it is. It looks like a case of road rage.
Which that's what they determined, yes.
It's just,
Yeah, but this guy was a pretty much wacko.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. They said that he had something on his calendar. He had an iPhone 1, and on the calendar for the day of the 24th, he had typed in RIP.
Right.
Which makes it, I don't know if he did that afterwards because he did that or if he was planning to kill some people.
don't know, right?
Right.
Plus, he had a screen name or something of Assassin.
Yeah.
So he...
And he was kind of obsessed with movies about hitmen.
Yeah, he thought he was a hitman.
So he was a man who was kind of lost. Although he was quite a bit older than these kids. They were 21, 22. He was 29.
Yeah, well, I don't know, quite a bit older. But he was definitely
older.
Well, when
you're that age, I think that's a distance. And they really didn't know each other. There was no connection found between them at all. So they think it was random road rage incident.
Right. They said he didn't know the victims.
No.
But he has been found competent to stand trial. And just this past summer... they set a date for the trial of April 3rd, 2017, where if convicted, he could face the death penalty.
Okay.
So we're still, it's going to be over 3 years,
mm-hmm.
almost 3.5 years since the murders occurred, that the trial is finally going to start.
But fortunately, he's not out free.
No. No, he's in the San Diego jail.
And there's quite a bit of evidence that leads us to believe he did do it. His guns were there.
Mm-hmm.
His DNA was there.
His DNA is there.
So the only thing that really the defense could do was say that he was mentally incompetent and also say that there's no proof that he shot his guns.
Right.
And killed them.
And you can always, I guess, go back on the self-defense theory.
What do you mean?
That he was afraid of for his life, so he shot them first.
Oh, yeah, I don't think that's going to fly. As far as I know, they had no weapons.
No.
No.
I don't know what else
cars,
he's going to say.
Yeah.
Well, separate cars, I mean, it's her fiancé driving the other car. Maybe they decided to meet, do some late shopping before Christmas.
Sure. Could be a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's just... I know you hear more and more about road rage incidents, and
it's really scary.
It is.
Yeah. I mean,
shoot first and ask questions later.
Right. Yeah, there was that one incident where the guy, I think it was in Florida, he went home, and he'd been cutting a guy off and stuff on the road, and the guy went to his house, which was a really stupid thing to do, to see where he was, because he was reporting him to the police, and the guy came out with a gun and shot him.
Yeah.
And because he'd gone to his own property, it was possible that he was going to get away with it with the stand your ground law,
mm-hmm.
which I don't like that law. I think it's really just asking for trouble.
In all respects.
Yeah. Well, ever since Trayvon Martin, I thought that was horrendous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks, Dickie. Good discussion.
Good case.
Sad case.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure that you keep listening to 12 Beers of Christmas. We're going to continue that for a few more days now.
Right.
And you still have plenty of time to get in those 5-star reviews before Christmas as well.
And you still have plenty of time to enter the True Crime Brewery beer review contest.
Yes, we've gotten a couple good ones. So
we have.
Get them in there.
So send those audio tapes in.
Yeah. And the prize now, you get a True Crime Brewery t-shirt, a snifter, and a coaster. So you could be so styling.
Yeah.
You could just look really cool to all your friends.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Betcha.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Christmas is so good, you are bright.
Christmas Day.
Baby, don't hold on.